In the gospel reading today, we hear about these Jewish people who are challenging our blessed Lord. And they are claiming that he has a devil, and they're claiming he's a Samaritan. They're making all kinds of other statements about him. And he asks them simply, well, doesn't even ask him, he tells them point blank. He said, you do not know God. He said, you claim that he is your God, but you don't know him. Now think about that statement. At that time, the Jewish people had the fullness of truth as it had been revealed. And yet Jesus is telling them straight out, you don't know God. This would have been quite offensive. But imagine if our Lord was standing before you and me today and looked at us and said, you don't know God. Once again, we might say, no. We have the fullness of truth. God has revealed it. The church has taught it to us. And he might look at us and say, but you don't know him. You know about him, but you don't know him. That's something that we have to look at. Because obviously for the Jewish people, they had the promise that there was going to be a Messiah. And there he was standing right in front of them. They refused to believe. But we just have to put ourselves into that mindset. You have to ask yourself, would you believe? First of all, even though there are certainly passages in the Old Testament that point to the fact that there is a Trinity, the Jewish people didn't believe that. They believe there is only one God. And here you have somebody saying that he is God. Before Abraham was, I am. I am is the holy name of God. That's why they picked up stones to be able to throw at him, because he made himself equal to God. You and I can look at that 2,000 years later and say, well, he is God, of course. But could they have understood that? We look even beyond our Lord. Look at the prophets that God sent to the Jewish people over and over and over again. And what happened to them? Every last one of them was put to death. Every last one. We can look at St. John the Baptist. What happened to him? He was put to death. You could say, yeah, but it was Herod that put him to death. Did the high priest listen to him? Did the scribes and Pharisees listen to him? They didn't want it. We can look at the saints that have been raised up over the last 2,000 years, and we can ask ourselves, how have the Catholics handled this? How many of them have been put to death? How many of them have been ignored? See, this is what we have to look at for ourselves now. Because you and I are living in a time of extraordinary confusion. We have people claiming to be Catholic who believe whatever. We're at a point where we can almost make up our own stuff and say, yeah, I'm Catholic, but this is what I believe. And so God is going to raise up some extraordinary saints in our day. We are literally going to see some of the greatest saints in the history of the world being raised up. And they're going to challenge us. Because as much as we'd like to say, oh no, I only believe exactly what the church teaches, I'd be willing to bet that most of us have brought a few of our own ideas in. And do we really want to be shaken out of our comfort zone? Because that's what the saints do. They call us to something deeper. They call us to a greater conversion. They call us to greater holiness. And many of us don't want that. Oh, we say that we do, but when it comes right down to it, we fight it. Remember, who was our Lord talking to here? The religious Jews. These weren't the pagans. These weren't the Samaritans even. These were religious people. The ones like the Pharisees who were trying to live everything for God. And Jesus says, you don't know him. Now there are many in the Catholic Church who are proving that point on a regular basis. We look at 75% of people who claim to be Catholic who say they don't believe in the real presence of Jesus in the Eucharist. We look at the Pew Research Institute study that or poll that came out just a couple of weeks ago. And among Catholics who profess to be regular churchgoers, now, regular doesn't necessarily mean weekly, I guess. I don't know. Maybe they're going once or twice a month. I don't know. But they claim to be regular church-going Catholics. So in other words, these aren't just people who are saying, yeah, I was baptized Catholic. These are people who claim to be going to church at least on a regular basis. 70%. 70% of people sitting in the pew regularly on Sunday morning say that they think that people of the same sex can get married. And 59% of those same people said that abortion should be legal in almost all cases. So these are people who are pretty obvious. They have rejected the truth. They claim to be Catholic. They even go through the motions of going to church. And they've rejected the truth. That's pretty obvious. Those aren't the people that we're talking about here, because that's not the kind of people that our Lord was talking to. The people our Lord was talking to were people who would have been what we might call observant Jews. And so today he would be talking to people like you and me. And he's going to shake us up. And he's going to ask if we really, truly believe. Now, objectively, we all do. It's not a problem. In other words, if we look at it and say, hey, do you believe that Jesus is God? We would all say yes. Do you believe that Jesus is your high priest who has entered into the Holy of Holies of heaven with his own blood, not the blood of bulls and goats, but his own blood? The blood of bulls and goats could purify the flesh so that the Jewish people could take place in the rituals. But the blood of Jesus literally cleanses our sins, cleanses our souls. And I think every one of us would say, yep, I believe that. But yet when it comes right down to it, when it comes to the subjective part of living the faith, that's where we get ourselves into trouble. Because while we acknowledge the objective part, just like the Pharisees would have done in the Old Testament times, as well as some of the Sadducees, the high priests, all of them, they all would have said, yep, this is what the Jewish faith teaches. When it came right down to it, they didn't know God. They knew about God. They knew what God had revealed, but they didn't embrace it. They didn't live it. That's where we have to really look seriously at this. As we enter into Passion Time, the church helps us to just focus ourselves on what our Lord has done. Once again, I don't think any of us are going to say, I don't believe that. But we have to go deeper, because it's not just what Jesus did objectively. What he did objectively is absolutely true. The question we have to look at is, what has he done subjectively? In other words, how does this affect me? It's a humorous thing that we live in a me-oriented society, live in the most selfish society in the history of the world, and yet when it comes to our personal relationship with our Lord, when it comes to the question of who Jesus is in me, we don't want to do that. We want just the objective part, but we don't always want the subjective part. We want to say prayers, which is a great thing, but we don't really want to pray. We want to go through the motions, but we don't really want to be united with him. And the reason why is because we don't want to be shaken out of our comfort zone. Because we know inherently, if we go deep, God's going to ask us to make some changes in our lives. He's going to call us to greater holiness, which also means he's going to call us to greater suffering. Most of us bristle at that idea. He's going to call us to greater detachment. He's going to say, give some of this stuff up. We don't like that. I like my widget collection. I like my fancy stuff. I like whatever. And he's going to say, yeah, sell that and give it to the poor. And we're going to say, I don't think so. He's going to say, knock off this nonsense. And we're going to say, but it's not a mortal sin. He's going to say, I didn't ask if it was a mortal sin or not. He said, I want you to quit this because it's a venial sin. Because it's in the way. It's stopping you from greater progress. We're going to say, but I like my sin. I don't want to give that up. I've spent a whole lifetime cultivating this sin. And he's going to say, get rid of it. And we tend to say no. We don't really want to do that. He's going to look at you and say, look, I am calling you to be a saint. You. And we're going to say, oh, no. Those people should be saints. You can raise up some great saints in our day. That'll be great. Not me. Because I don't want to be weird. Because I want to fit in. Because I want to be like everyone else. And he's going to look at us and say, I tell you, you do not know God. So again, look seriously at this stuff. Because we believe the objective truth, just like the people Jesus was talking to. But when it comes down to us actually having to do something with that, that's where we get ourselves into hot water. And so we have to ask ourselves seriously, am I willing to do whatever God wants me to do? All of us, of course, will say, yeah, whatever God wants. Mm-hmm. Put yourself in the apostles' position for a minute then. What if God said, quit your job and go out and start preaching? What are you going to say to that? What if he says, I want you to be a martyr? What are you going to say to that? What if he says, I want you to be publicly humiliated? See, God doesn't always ask easy things of us. And where we're headed, it's not going to be easy. As I've told you many times, the church is going to be crucified. And you and I have the greatest privilege in the world, literally in the history of the world, well, at least since Jesus, to be part of it. These are the days that the greatest saints that have ever lived have wanted to be part of. And they weren't, but you are. Which means God is going to be raising up greater saints than we have ever seen in the church, with the exception, obviously, of our Blessed Lady, St. Joseph, St. John the Baptist, maybe a few people like that. But in general, in our day, God is going to raise up the greatest saints in the history of the church. Are you willing to be one of them? Are you willing to be shaken out of the complacency? Are you willing to know the Lord your God and serve him with your whole heart and soul and strength? Or are we willing just to say, no, I know the truth and I'll go to church on Sunday and that's good enough? God's not calling us to good enough. God is calling us to extraordinary holiness. Good enough isn't going to get anybody through what's coming. There is a shaking that is coming. And if you don't want to be shaken, then you're going to fall off the tree. So we really need to look at this. As we go through these next couple of weeks, consider what happened to the apostles. They were willing to follow Jesus up to a certain point. Their whole life was thrown into chaos. Their faith was shaken. Everything they put their hopes in seemed to have disappeared. And they had to make some serious choices. Something similar is going to be happening for us. Do we really want to do it God's way? What if God raises up somebody who calls me? Am I willing to say yes? What if God wants to raise you up? Are you willing to say yes? What if he asks you to do something you don't want to do? Because that's what he usually does with the saints. The saints don't tell God what they're going to do. God tells the saints what they're going to do. So we look at this exchange between Jesus and these religious Jews, and we bring it right back to ourselves. And we have to put ourselves into that position. We wouldn't be saying, well, Abraham is our father and so on. We can say that, it's true, our father in faith. We would look at it in a few different ways. And yet we would still perhaps challenge him. So think about that. What would your interior disposition be? In other words, over the next 2 weeks, don't just look at this from an arm's distance. Don't just go home and watch the movie of the Passion. I'd suggest you do that, but don't just do that, because then you're just watching from the outside. Put yourself into the Passion. Look at it from the perspective of the apostles or of the various people. Think of Veronica and what she did. Look at our Blessed Lady and what she did. Look at all the different apostles and the responses that they had. Recognize they weren't looking at this from the outside. They were part of it. What's coming for the church, you and I get to be a part of it. We're not going to be watching it from the outside. So we have some choices to make. Start with the question that Jesus is looking at and ask yourself honestly, do I know God? Or do I just know about him? Do I know Jesus Christ? Or do I just claim my belief in him? You have to believe in him. That's the foundation. But he wants something far deeper. He wants our hearts, not just our minds. He wants us to love him. He wants us to serve him. He wants us to be united with him. He wants us to take part in the single greatest thing that's happened in the last 2,000 years. And are we willing to do that? Not how we necessarily think it ought to happen, but how he decides that it's going to happen. Because if it doesn't go our way, we might be willing to say, no, that's not the way I thought it was going to happen. Show me which of the apostles who thought that this was the way it was going to happen. They didn't. It won't happen the way we think it's going to. It's going to happen the way God wants it to. Not only for the church, but for you and me individually. So are we going to give him control of our lives? Or are we going to try to be in control? Are we going to do it his way? Or do we only want to do it our way? In other words, do we know about God? Or do we truly know God?